As we continue through with the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy, we're ready for Article Number 9, which reads, "We affirm that inspiration, though not conferring omniscience, guaranteed true and trustworthy utterance on all matters of which the biblical authors were moved to speak and write." Omniscience is an attribute that can only be accurately applied in describing God himself. It means all-knowing, representing the fact that God knows all things. Nothing can be hidden from God. No thoughts or feelings are secret as God peers into the hearts of all men. No man nor woman, no angel nor even the devil have ever been omniscient, nor will they ever be. Yes, the scriptures themselves reflect and declare the omniscience of God, but that does not mean that the authors ever experienced such a state themselves. In contrast, consider the plea of the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 17, verse 9. "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" If that great Old Testament prophet Jeremiah cannot even understand his own heart, it is obvious that as an author, he fell well short of omniscience. However, the presence of the Holy Spirit in the process of inspiration did guarantee accuracy in the authorship of Scripture. For God to have allowed any kind of error or imperfection to have occurred in his word would have gone against his very character, as it would make Scripture a lie. Numbers 23:19 reads, "God is not a man that he should lie." Titus 1:2 also reminds us that God cannot lie. The word of God is true from cover to cover. Because of this, it can be trusted as the authority in all things upon which it speaks, not just what some would classify as spiritual matters. I further believe that we as Christians need to challenge the idea of a rigid separation between spiritual and secular matters in our lives. Some people view their faith as if it was a cardboard box. They seem to think they can put certain things in their lives that they want into the box where it is subject to their faith. However, in their minds, everything that is outside of the box is still secular and not subject to their faith, making the teaching of the Bible to be irrelevant to those areas of life. This is somewhat similar to when private schools or homeschools teach the Bible as a subject, but then there's no consideration of the teaching of Scripture in other subjects. According to 2 Corinthians 10:5, we read, "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." The Word of God should be the lens through which our minds and hearts consider all other things that we read, hear, or see in all circumstances, not just when it's convenient. I've heard Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis say, "Why is it that when Scripture and science contradict each other, that men accept that it is Scripture that must be wrong?" In my own words, why would we doubt the Word of God, of the God who was there at the foundation of the world, in favor of accepting the teaching of today's scientists? Instead, we should have more confidence in what we read in Scripture than in what we read anywhere else. In the high priestly prayer recorded in John 17, Jesus prayed that the Father would sanctify his disciples in the truth, and then went on to say, "Your word is truth." The accuracy of all other teachings need to be compared to the truth of Scripture, not the other way around. So moving on to the denial of this article. We deny that the finitude of fallenness of these writers by necessity or otherwise introduced distortion or falsehood into God's word. It is a relatively common practice in some college criminal justice courses for a man to come in and pretend to perpetrate a particular crime in front of the class and then to leave the room. The class is then asked to describe the man and what happened. Often these descriptions fall far short of being consistent, let alone accurate. This reflects the fact that human beings are not always reliable witnesses. They may be distracted by the cares of the world or possibly blinded by their own prejudices regarding what they witness. Because of man's fallen nature, errors are to be expected in these kinds of situations. So what makes Scripture different? Why can believers stand firm on the doctrine of the infallibility of Scripture when in at least some ways the accuracy of the original manuscripts was dependent upon the human authors? The reason is the participation of the Holy Spirit in the act of inspiration. As has been said over the past few weeks, inspiration was somehow a joint effort between the Holy Spirit and human authors. It would have gone against the very character of God for there to be any errors in Scripture. So, what is the ultimate source of confidence in the truth and accuracy of Scripture that we can have? As the London Baptist Confession put it, our full persuasion and assurance of the infallible truth and divine authority thereof is from the inward work of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness by and with the Word in our hearts. In other words, it requires an inner working of the Holy Spirit to instill conviction and confidence regarding the truth of Scripture. Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful for your Word. We are grateful for the how readily available it is to us today. Many of us have multiple Bibles in our home. Many people have Bibles even on their phones. And I thank you, Lord, that it is so accessible. I pray that we would not take it for granted. I pray that we would have the confidence to know that in all things upon which it speaks, it is the authority for our lives. I pray that we would seek to learn it, that we would seek to praise you for seeing fit to reveal yourself to us. Amen.